Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle P4P, Real Talk in your earlobe, in your ear, in your head, wherever I need to be to reach out to you to learn better and more challenging ways to be healthy and fit. And Des won't be joining us tonight, but she will be sorely missed. But I do have some fine guests on tonight. Mark South, who you're familiar with, and E.W. Peterson, who's going to be talking from the military mental aspect of what we're going to be talking about. But it's an interesting show, and I hope you can keep up and understand why this is so important right now, because we are truly in need of a mental break before we have a mental breakdown. And I'm just very concerned with the way and direction where we've been taking what should be topic that should be very near and dear to our hearts and minds, simply because we have family, friends, and members that we know and are close to that are no longer here. And for the simple fact of basically either poor health options, or, you know, all of the above. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mark. Mark, introduce yourself, and then bring on EW. And we'll get this show started.
Yeah, thank you very much, KP. So I'm Mark, a practicing lifestyle coach, epigenetics, nutrition, and everything else, and have several sporting clients as well as clients in palliative care, aged care, throughout the whole of general health as well. So it's a great pleasure to be able to, you know, share in such a subject.
EW.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kaylin. My name is E.W. or Eric Peterson. I am here as the founder and president of a nonprofit organization called Project Headspace and Timing, which is a 501c3 that I started a few years ago to connect veterans with resources, veterans with their communities, and some veterans with themselves. I started this organization after a man that I was a medic to decided to end his life very casually, as it would seem, on a Thursday morning. And it put me into a very tough place because, like all the cliches say, I did not expect it. He was the last person I thought that ever would. And after that, it caused a chain of events that made me realize that I needed to start an organization to reach out to all my brothers and sisters to connect them with the resources that were out there. So I'm very, very thankful to be here, and thank you again for having me, Kaylin.
Well, it's a true honor and a definite pleasure to have both of you guys on, since I know that both of you are very, very passionate about well-being and mental understanding of their minds, bodies, and souls. It's not an easy topic when people that should be opening up to you are afraid to do so out of fear of interacting or seeming weak or not part of the norm or the understanding that this is somehow a challenging part of their lives. It's almost like they're afraid to reach out simply because of the understanding that they might be seen as weak or somehow different. And that comes with the pandemic even more so, because no one wants to even cough in public anymore because they're afraid how they'll be viewed or seen. And it's just amazing to me that because of that reluctance, that people aren't getting the care or the true concern or necessary resources to have this happen. And I'm just amazed. I mean, honestly, amazed that we're picking sides when nobody's picking humanity. That's frightening to me, that we're stepping into that arena with an ideology that somehow one of the sides is more right than wrong. If it's not dealing with true health and true wellness and basically some kind of fit mind, body, and soul, then which side are we really picking if it's not the side of life? So, Mark, with the fitness industry, I'm sure people are more concerned than they have been in the past, and I'm sure mainstream society is following suit with those concerns, because it's almost like we're jumping the gun, honestly, with how we're taking the precedent, because I haven't seen one mandate for an option of better health being the driving force in bringing this this to some kind of head or fruition, where we can actually have a starting point or a foundation that can actually be successful. It seems like we're running off of fear instead of actual fact. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody who's walking, breathing at the moment is being exposed to this, and everybody has their own story. Everybody especially has mm-hmm. their own feelings. We're subject to a lot of media releases, a lot of info. We can find a couple of cases and they get blown up like it's everybody's suffering from it. It's that case of mm-hmm. information. But the one thing that's crucial behind this is because we've just had another virus come to us, another chain, and it will take the medical professional community some time to work this out. Okay, mm-hmm. so at the moment, there'd be every precautions, there'd be fear, there'd be this, that, and the other. But what doesn't change, and what should be the main focus, is our ability to talk between friends, in public, amongst ourselves, just in a way of, this is how I'm feeling. Yeah, well, I felt that way too, and I decided to do this. So we're not judging each other. We're just enabling discussions as human beings to be conducted to support and help. Unfortunately, due to mandates, as a result of it, if you follow the mandate and you've done something like had the vaccination, you don't really want to know that you've done the wrong thing. Likewise, somebody who doesn't want to get vaccinated, they don't want to be criticized by everybody because they've either been forced to have the vaccination or believe in the vaccination. So our ability to just be human with each other, to show humanity, to help each other out, I don't think there's ever been a time since like war times where you're there with your friend and your colleague under distress and you just support each other. And I think, you know, it's a major thing just to allow people to talk and express, ask questions without the feeling of I'm going to be judged here, I'm going to be supported, which is very different to being judged.
Mm-hmm. Now, you touched on something that is near and dear to me. It's like when you talk about the military and brothers in arms, there is an understanding that you do have someone that's going to have your back or should. And what that does, like you said, it takes a lot of that stress off. Even though you're in a very stressful environment and situation, it puts you in a place that's doable when we talk about the foundation. So, Eric, you know, I know you've shared those same sentiments and understanding of basically, you know, come hell or high water, I know somebody's got my back. And without that, mm-hmm. there is a very grave and great mental strain that's happening. A lot of times when our military brothers and sisters are getting out, this is what happens because the foundation seems to be have been ripped from them. So when you have this fight or flight situation that never shuts down, Eric, you've seen it firsthand. Like you said, you've had to deal with it firsthand. What's a good way for humanity to get back to being humane?
Wow. That's a pretty deep question. It's a very heavy question. I think that there's a lot of layers to that because first and foremost, in my opinion, when you look at, for example, the things that are going on today in society, I fully believe that initially at its foundation, no one wishes any harm to come to anyone else. Nobody wants anyone else to suffer, but what you think may be right that could cause that suffering has created this weird angst, anger, frustration that has now turned people against one another, whether that – and I would imagine that that's also in part due to all the frustration, anxiety, depression that the past 2 years in this pandemic has really brought out. Because if you were to go around to any police department or hospital and ask them about the amount of cases of depression, anxiety, domestic abuse, all of these terrible things that have started to come up now, when we have so much more isolation, I think it's fairly obvious to see that we're social creatures. And one of the other underlying causes, I think, to some of this is social media has kind of perpetuated this idea that so many of us need to project out this very positive lifestyle, which is very good in some respects, but then in others, it's almost creating this atmosphere where it's like, it's so hard to have that real conversation. It's so much easier for me to go online and leave a bad review for a business than it is for me to go to that manager or owner of that business and say, hey, you know, this is what happened to me. I wasn't sure why. I just had some questions and I didn't know if that was the right way to handle it. So I feel like almost we need to get back to just being able to just talk to one another, to have those genuine conversations. Because as I've talked to you about, Kaylin, time and time again, I don't like having disingenuous conversations because that's a true waste of time. You know, I would much rather know how you're really doing. And if you're not doing well and you're my friend, that which means that I love you, well, then let's talk about what's going on with you so we can figure out some steps to get out of it together. Because I believe that if we all work together on this kind of stuff, it's going to be a lot easier for us to get out of it as opposed to us each seeking our own individual success as far as mental health is concerned. So, I mean, very hard question to answer, but I think that it comes down to remembering who we really are. Like when Hurricane Harvey hit not too long ago, that was hundreds, I'm bad with geography, maybe thousands of miles away. And up here in Kankakee, Illinois, we're sending bass boats and semi-trucks full of stuff to Texas because they're Americans, they're people, and they need help, and that's what we do. And that's the America that I love, the America that I'm proud of, and I just hope that we get to see that again, you know. But it all starts with having those real conversations with one another, I think.
No doubt. Mark, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's about communication and openness. I mean, we even ask our governments and our health authorities to just stay open. Yes, they've mandated a lot of things. You can see some benefit in those, such as 1.5 meters and masks and those type of things. But just be open and be able to move and react and to communicate as things become a little bit more clearer. This segregation issue, we have a big thing here in Australia. We have a federal government. We have state governments. So it's quite a complex thing. And in Queensland here, in a week's time, they want to mandate that no one can go to a gym or to hospitality if they haven't been vaccinated. I mean, I just think that I'm getting political here, but I think that that segregation and even that thought is utterly outrageous. Anything that we do is for us to overcome or recover. That's where support comes in. We're all going to be faced with things that happen in life. It's evaluation of how you are going into that and how you need support in coming out of it. To just blanketly be ridiculous to say that if you're vaccinated, you could go in there with the virus, carrying the virus. The difference between the potential to obtain is no different between a vaccinated and an unvaccinated to carry such things. So I just think we need to really step back and look at, you know, really what are our decisions? What is it we're communicating with people? Because this then just creates a you and me type of mentality, which is surely not what is positive as an outcome. We have to look at, you know, getting over these things and learning from these things together and collectively without trying to, you know, mandate divides between people, especially when you've said, you know, your push has been for X amount of vaccinations and X amount of criticism to non-vaccinated people. You get to the threshold where you say we need to be, you go over that threshold, and then you put another mandate in place. It's just, we need balance in our lives. We all do. And we've just got to be careful and mindful to be open-minded as to the physical effect on people and what our decisions either personally or community-wise do affect on people.
Yes. And one of the things when you talk about the mental aspect of it is that it filtered down. between us and them. And I was asked as a kid when I was a teenager, well, who is them? Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not, we because we can see it as someone else, we never see it as our neighbor. We never see it as the family member. We never see it as a close and precious loved one. We're always trying to see it as someone else. And I think Eric had touched on that, EW, when he was talking about how social media has become the platform of misinformation and this disingenuous information, basically to get the likes and the support and the favorability that really isn't substantiated with what's really going on in a nation, in a town, or even a village. And I, like I said, I'm amazed that we're actually taking upon ourselves the very identity of people and basically subjects that we're not familiar with. I mean, like, I can't talk really about a golf game because I've never really fully engaged myself in golf. But yet you put mm-hmm. me on social media and I sound like Tiger Woods. And it just doesn't mm-hmm. make sense that we're throwing that kind of identity out there when it's not truly or fully us. So, you know, when we talk about health, I can tell you about health, and I can tell you the benefits of it, even during a time like this. And, you know, when you're basically leaving out the health side of it, all we're hearing is the bad news. And that's frightening in itself. It's almost like we're pressing ourselves to get out the worst, best bad news. And without the identity of understanding that we have a healthier side of this, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and there is an understanding that, you know, people can be healthier, and there is an understanding that we can still be neighbors, and there is an understanding that we can still be coworkers. We're losing our humanity because of fear, and fear should not be the driving source or the basically the stabilizing foundation, because it's always going to be unstabilized and unfounded because there's so much that leaks in and creeps in. So when we talk about health, I'm just more amazed that when we're watching these news outlets, if you are, or if you're basically dedicating your whole day to finding out the next worst thing, when does it take its toll on our minds? I mean, Eric, I'm sure you're seeing more stress when you're dealing with the veterans and the broken mentally understanding of what's going on. How do you engage to de-escalate? Because we're not holding ourselves personally accountable anymore for what we should be doing. We're basically understanding that this is the narrative and let's run with that. I'm not willing to run with this narrative because I know there's two sides to every story, and we can't have misinformation being both sides. So how do we de-escalate? I'm going to go with Eric first, and then we'll go with Mark. How do we de-escalate personally when we're engaging with our brothers and sisters and our fellow brothers and sisters in arms? Eric?
Yeah, so another great question. I think that it almost requires all of us to take a personal inventory of all of the things that are happening within our own lives that are causing us to feel all of these different ways, whether it's you're behind on bills now, or you're having issues with your family because of this isolation, or you're not able to go to the gym and that was your one stress relief. You know, we have to try to identify all of these things that are causing that are causing ourselves to have all these issues, and then try to identify that kind of stuff first. And then it starts small. It starts within your circle. I don't think any of us think that when it comes to, like you said, revitalizing the humanity of our society, that's not going to be a top-down type of thing. We don't expect our government, I don't think any of us expect any government to be able to lead the way in that. That's a bottom-up situation. It requires all of us down here doing all the work to remind each other, hey, are you good? Let's go get a coffee. Let's go talk. What's going on with you? And picking each other up. And the only way I really know how to describe that from my perspective was September 12th of 2001, when I was only a child, but I walked outside. And for the first time, I really felt like I was part of something, because everybody looked at everyone else like, hey, today we're family. And that was a different feeling that no government, no authoritarian anything can give you. That's something we have to give each other. we are the ones that have to carry that weight. Unfortunately, the strongest ones, in my opinion, have to be the ones that are the beacons to let other people know it's okay to not be okay, but we have to stick together. We have to work together. And then slowly but surely, we expand that network. Other people that are out there that feel the same way, but they're just a little too nervous or too afraid or whatever to be a part of something. They see somebody like you or me or anyone out there that's starting to try to change that narrative, and they want to get involved too. And then they reach out to you and say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. I was having a bad day. I listened to this podcast and it really helped me out of a tough spot. Can I do something to work with you? And that's how we grow that network. And I think that's how eventually we hopefully successfully change that narrative.
It's a facet in everybody's life. It's that we've got ears, we've got a ratio of two ears and one mouth. I think sometimes we have to create the comfort for someone to just express how they're feeling and to listen to it, not to prejudge it, to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that feeling that two human beings or even more can share with each other. That this is what this person's expressing, whether it's the norm or not the norm, or whether they're being silly as a perception, to not have that perception, to just listen to people and to make non-threatening environments where we can engage in that manner. You can be the best doctor on earth. You've got to really know what the person is suffering from. You've got to get down into their life as to why. It could be chemically, it could be something, but you've got to understand them and the effect to really be able to put yourself in a position of supporting, which means you have to be open. We are all different. We do all not have the same chemicals balances running through our body. We've just got to create this environment of care and the ability to just sit down, be quiet, and to listen and to think about our responses before we give them. It's just that connection. We're warm-blooded people. There's lots of things that we do in our lives where we can really feel, you know, the fun and the enjoyment of sharing this energy together by just talking, being in each other's presence, as much as we can feel the negativity there as well and really, really do want to change it. So we're really asking ourselves as human beings to just give somebody the opportunity to let them know they've got that opportunity. They say, you know, treat others as you would like treating yourselves. It's quite a straightforward statement, really. And we never know when we ourselves may need help. So it's not something that you really mandate. It's something that's within our souls, within our ability to put a hand out. Yes, we can say that governments don't look after veterans, but and we can do anything we want to let the government know our disagreement, but it doesn't stop us from physically helping a veteran. It doesn't help us from helping someone in aged care. We do not need a mandate for us to eat, let's say, in brackets, more healthily. We just need to take control of ourselves. We don't need to let people take our power away from us, and we need to increase the ability, if somebody's got a question, got a concern, that we have time for each other. And sometimes compassion can be crossed. You know, sometimes you might have to be harsh with your daughter, your son, you know, have a little bit of attention in a family or something like that. But the purpose must be to not necessarily have an attack on the person, but to be there in some way or form that whatever energy you put in, you're trying to get some result from it. It's very easy when we speak like this, but we know the hurdles and people scratching their head and say, well, that sounds good. But it's basically what it boils down to. Your sister, your brother, which may be bloodlines or not bloodlines, the person sat next to you in church or on the bus or in a cafe. If something has been brought to you, just have the ears to listen. If it's not in your league or something, then be very polite or to give some guidance that the person doesn't feel rejected, even though it could be uncomfortable for it. Because this segregation of people and having mandates that people agree with, don't agree with, it doesn't mean that we as humanity cannot discuss them in an open and fair way for the ability of us all and for us all to share. So we don't need mandating necessarily on humanity things. We don't need training like in the infantry to filter out those that aren't quite performing, that don't quite have your eight, you know. We're humans, and we just need to be exposed and to really feel it. I mean, I'm asking my job, you know, do you give to receive? Well, you give to actually feel. You know, you give to feel, like caring, to give caring, you can feel caring. So you're actually obtaining the giving. It's just how we want to position ourselves as individuals and make choices for ourselves. And it comes down to that, really. How we fight a virus is a different subject. But how we support each other through this cycle is very much within our own capabilities, or a question we could ask ourselves.
Very much so, very much so. And I'm loving the conversation. I'm loving the, like I said, you guys are very passionate, and you can hear it in every word. And it's also a blessing to know that people are listening. And I'm not going to take any comments or anything, because, like I said, this isn't about the political spectrum. This is an us spectrum, the humanity side, the humane section of society. So if you're not looking for a way to engage in this, because we need to, we must, in order to basically exist beyond this time and point in life, we have to do better. And that's just the nature of the beast. And I think everyone that's really ready to help should accept this challenge and take it as a challenge, because it is. The one thing I've learned in life is there's plenty of things I don't know. There's plenty of things I simply don't know. But I do know someone who does, and that's the one I need to engage with, because obviously you didn't know the person like I did, or know the person like I do, and don't know how to reach out and get that right answer. So that's not saying, you know, I'm somehow better. I just have basically access to a person who has the answer. And I think this is where we need to be in society and in a societal thinking, because we can no longer go it alone. We never could. And you know, the false narrative that we can do it all by ourselves is just an outright lie. I mean, anything you know, somebody taught you. And if you say that's not the truth, then you're lying to yourself. Anyone that's grown up in life can think back to a person, a time, a moment with a person, whether it be good or bad. And we either learned from that situation, or we needed to be, you know, smacked in the face to realize that we're not humble enough to learn what we need to learn. So when we're talking about this healthy society, a healthy mind, and basically de-escalating situations, Mark, you touched on it perfectly by saying it's okay to sit there and listen. Because I've learned in this day and age of the internet and society, on the internet, it's basically just reading to respond. We're not accessing where a person's coming from. And the one thing that's frightening is that basically we're taking our anger, we're taking our temper, and we're taking our frustration into a conversation, and we don't seem to understand or fully engage in the understanding that we're engaging with another human being. We don't know where they've been throughout their day. We don't know where they've been throughout their month, because a lot of times, like Mark said earlier, we're not engaging to even figure it out what's going on with them. All we want to do is vent, say what we feel, and not respond to the repercussion of how they took it. Because if I'm already mad and somebody says something that only frustrates me more, then my anger comes out before my wisdom. And it's getting to the point now where we need, like Mark said about having two ears and one mouth, sometimes we need to basically just listen to what we're about to say. And it's not an easy thing in this current climate and time, but it must happen. And this is where personal accountability comes into play, and it can actually work so much better for everyone's on everyone's behalf if we do so. So, Eric, you know, when you're talking to your brothers that are on the cliff or on the edge of taking their own lives or doing something harmful to themselves or a family member, how do you basically bring them down to a conversation worth having?
So that can be obviously an incredibly difficult situation. When it comes to bringing somebody down and talking them off the cliff, you really have to understand their mental state. Are they abusing some sort of substance at the time? Can we actually have a rational conversation right now? But once you start to get through all of that, by letting someone know that you truly understand where they're coming from, being fully transparent, letting them know your history. Hey, I've thought about killing myself too. I've been where you were. And you need to understand that, well, then this is what I talk to these veterans about, is that I am never trying to talk you into doing anything. I'm just trying to let you know that you're not alone if you don't want to be. And that doesn't mean that I'm trying to sit here and tell you how to fix everything. I might not be able to fix anything for you, but I will sit here in the darkness with you. I will sit here with you as long as you want me to sit here. And I don't care what demons you have, I'm bringing mine too. And we'll sit here together until you understand that you are worthy of being loved by somebody else. So we can then figure out how to get you out of this, to figure out what it is that gives you that passion again. Because, again, so many of these veterans, you know, it's been ingrained into us to grit our teeth and carry on with the mission. Mm-hmm. And short-term-wise, that's what you do. That's what you have to do. But long-term-wise, is that sustainable? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it to me. Because a lot of these guys that are dealing with these significant issues, you have a lot of in the special operations community, you have a lot of these guys who were the creme de la creme, the top tier ones that we all looked up to. And those are some of the guys that are having some of the worst problems because it's just not sustainable long term. So by being fully transparent, letting them know I'm not trying to sell you on anything, I'm not trying to do anything, I'm just trying to sit here with you just to let you know that you're not here alone. And if you'll give me the time to sit here with you, when you're ready to talk, I will be here, because it was right before Veterans Day. I received a phone call about a veteran who just kept telling all his family that he was going to go away soon. And he didn't have any money. He didn't have anything else. He just kept saying he was going to go away. And he made a point to have his family come to his parents' house so he could tell them all goodbye. And when his family saw that, they reached out. A friend reached out to me. I went out there, talked to him, and I just shot it straight with him. And after we spoke for a little bit, he understood my background. He understood that I knew where he was coming from, and I wasn't trying to sell him on anything. He agreed that he needed to check himself in. So we went to a hospital, and when we were standing in the waiting room before he checked in, he said to me, you know, I feel like you talked me into this. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I looked at him and I said, then get in my car and let's leave right now. And he looked at me and kind of took a step back. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I don't want you to think that you're here for any other reason than the fact that you know you need to be here. And if you think that I tried to trick you into coming here to get some help, then let's go get something to eat and I'll bring you right back home. And he looked at me and then he kind of laughed it off and called me a jerk and some other expletive words. And he said, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right. You know, because sometimes you just have to wake them up a little bit to make sure that they know they have to take ownership of this too. And that can be a very difficult task, you know, in and of itself as well.
Mark?
Yeah, I think, KP, it's about igniting a feeling that someone can physically, and I mean that, can physically feel. Those helpful words of drawing the attention or the mind to something else that someone can then feel. Sometimes you can say sentences like, what's your feeling then if that happens about your family? And that emotion, that connection, that change from just thinking about themselves to then those around them can be a trigger to transfer from there. So it is about that. It is about that comfortability, isn't it? It is about, you know, it's a pleasure that somebody would come to you and express themselves. It's a feeling of value. It's a feeling of their comfort. It's a feeling of the environment that you create. It's things that we can have ownership. And it's fantastic when you're out of your, let's say, comfort zone yourself to maybe suggest or to provide some other thought where the person can actually say, oh, that person really helped me. They put me onto this person, or they made me think about this, or they said they would talk, but it's not really, you know, they really need a little bit more time on that subject themselves. It's that ability to know that you can go to someone and who it is. Unfortunately, in a lot of things, a lot of people can believe, even within their own families, that others can't relate to this. They wouldn't know what I've been through, right? They necessarily don't need to know what you're bringing through. They need to actually physically feel the effect it's having on you, on a person, to move forward. Or to help. And right, support is not that you have every single answer. It's that you're prepared to support. You're not prepared to see someone fall over on the floor in the street and not help them up to their feet, or to check if they're okay, or to call them an ambulance, or to, you know, just sit with them for 30 seconds. It's about where we want to position ourselves, and by thinking about ourselves and thinking about how accessible we are to other people is where I think it all starts from. We have direct people like doctors, nurses, etc. They're there for a particular reason. But generally, we have to go to them. So they're a very significant identity in our community, that if you're sick or whatever, you go to that area. But it's about everything in between. It's about the normal life, where you're too scared to go and talk to someone, or you don't believe that someone can understand what you're saying. You know, I love it when you get two army people together, because there's an instant respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because that respect in itself creates a connectivity. There's, he might or she might understand me, right? Or her and she might know about the political issues around this. So it's about that engagement. It's everything is about engagement, and the ability to engage, and the ability to prosper from engagement. You know, you can say the same thing about a healthy diet. You know, if you engage in that healthy diet with some sport and some wisdom, you've got a chance to actually evaluate what a healthy diet can do for you. And whoever's helping you can also evaluate what that healthy diet did to you. It just needs that little bit of understanding that I can ask questions on this subject to help me make a decision that is either a direction I go in life or a choice I make one by one.
Very, very true. And the thing about a healthy diet is you're more prepared to take on those circumstances and situations than for somebody who's basically at wit's end and still not getting the brain food to think through everything that's going to help them. And that's what goes back to the personal accountability. You know, I was basically getting my butt chewed out in a parking lot simply because I was taking my mask off before I made it to my vehicle. And this is somebody that was standing there smoking. And I was just kind of like the irony of it. It kind of threw me off a little bit, because I was like, are you serious? Right now, are you serious that, you know, you're smoking? I said, we're going to do tit for tat and how we go about addressing the health and welfare of this nation. And you're smoking a cigarette while you're basically belittling me as you pull that mask down to basically have that smoke. And that just kind of got me. I was like, is this really happening? You know, have we gotten so against each other as a society where this is somehow acceptable? It was just really something to see. And this is what I mean about the personal accountability side of it. Because, you know, without good health, what do we have? And we're more at risk. And it's been proven time and time again that we're more at risk for anything. You know, the common cold, and you're more at risk. It's because, you know, your diet is poor and your body is suffering. Because if it's at a disadvantage, the disadvantage only increases as we go about our day-to-day lives. And I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from with this, because it seems like we're so busy casting blame or shade or whatever they call it on someone that we're no longer holding ourselves accountable in any way. Basically, I want to vent. I want to rip somebody down, tear someone to shreds. But if the light fell on me, how clean would my house be? How mentally accessible am I when engaging with my fellow brothers and sisters on this planet? Well, who am I to say the things that I say without rebuttal? I don't understand how we're getting away from that understanding and somehow thinking it's okay to continuously do so. So without the personal accountability side of it, who are we? And where are we setting the direction or the narrative with our neighbors? Because, you know, social media, media of any kind, has to basically get the ratings in order to keep engaging with society. And, you know, that's right. For whoever. But when you're talking about as neighbors and as friends, as family and as loved ones, you know, what are we doing to be accountable, everyone around us? Because I think we must do a better job of how we're engaging with each other. And a good diet, I know it sounds crazy, something as simple as a good diet can change the whole dynamic of what's going on. So, you know, how, from a personal standpoint, I know, well, I knew, like when this stuff started happening, especially when I saw the narrative that was being addressed and how it was being portrayed on the mainstream, is that we have to be a beacon of light. And I took it upon myself, you know, with the grace of God, to basically say, I'm going to do better than what's being said. Because at some point, we have to basically take that upon ourselves. That's a burden I can live with because, you know, thank God for being in the military and understanding that somebody has to pull their weight. Even if everybody else doesn't want to, I want to get my brothers and sisters back alive. And I'll hold that banner, and I'll take it upon myself to do so. So, EW, I'll go with you on that one, and then we'll see what Mark has been doing to hold the front down and hold the fort for his people and the people closest to him.
Well, the first thing that I have to do is I have to make sure that I am setting, honestly, also, because to take this to the other side, I had to realize the importance of setting boundaries for myself because I found that I was reaching so far to try to help so many people that my own health started to suffer. And it got to the point because for me, Kaylin, you see me in the morning. You see me first thing in the morning because you and I are at the gym early because I think, and I've never discussed this with you, but I have to imagine you may agree, there's something about doing something real tough first thing in the morning before you take on anything else for the day. And there's nothing like going to the gym, getting a good workout in, walking outside, the sun's just starting to rise, and you already know you won. You won that for the day.
That's right.
And it sets you up for the rest of the day. So by doing those things, it helps myself stay grounded. It helps myself stay healthy. And then it just comes down to making sure that I'm maintaining that good line of communication with everybody in my life, just like Mark said, you know, making sure that I'm listening to the people in my life. I've fallen victim to not listening to my own wife when she's trying to tell me what's going on with her, you know, because I might not be in the right mental space to process it at the time. So by making sure that I'm setting myself up for success for the rest of the day, I think I can be there for the other people in my life. And just like on, you know, I sent you a text on Thanksgiving. I sent out a text to you and just said, thank you for being who you are and being in my life.
And I remember
because
that, yes, sir.
I try to make a point to do that to the people in my life just to make sure that I've reminded them who they are to me. Because sometimes people forget that. And if I can at least empower you or give you something that makes you feel better about yourself for the day, tell me that's not magic. And it's literally just a couple of words. I literally just told you how I truly felt about you. And if that makes you feel a little bit better about yourself, I mean, how incredible is that? And
right.
It's not very labor intensive. So again, just by maintaining that good, positive communication with the people in your life in a very genuine way, that's how you help pick those up around you, in my opinion.
Mark?
Yeah, I think it's about it. Of course, everything starts with ourselves because, you know, and from a feeling of what makes us happy, what do we feel comfortable doing? I can find myself often work extremely long days and then recently, like a few months ago, I just hit a brick wall because I wasn't looking after myself enough. So there's a balance in that. You know, if people are leaning on the tree, then you better look after your own roots, they say, so you can keep everybody up. It's about where you as an individual want to be and what makes you happy, what influences this happiness and this feel-goodness, you know, and if you like to lay bricks, go and do that. But then don't complain about someone who wants to be a grocery store member. Everybody finding what makes them happy, because the more that we're all individually happy, we can share. But there are learnings, dark places, incidences that really give us that tummy hurt, you know, that bleeding of emotions. They're very learning times as well, unfortunately. It's what makes us stronger. It's that ability that... Yeah, you know, if you don't know, don't speak. If you do know, offer it in the very way that is relevant to the case or the situation you're in. It all starts with us. It starts with us looking after ourselves. You know, we just mentioned a healthy diet. What does it mean to us? How do we feel as a result of that? What is it we need? This whole time does open up avenues that you could say, well, hey, should we as a community be looking more at a healthy diet? Should we be looking at more of support for people in, let's say, dementia areas, health, this and that and the other? How should we change our education based on our current findings and experiences that we've just been through? It's that flexibility to really utilize how clever we bloody are with this body that we have. That at the end of the day, that's the measurement of how do we feel we have achieved and how does that make us happy and rewarded for our own self, acknowledgement for ourselves, which isn't a bad thing, because everybody else feels a smile. You know, bloody hell, what's he smiling at? You know, everybody notices positivity, and I think we should just, one start from ourselves so that we're in a great position to be able to support others and to choose things that make us feel happy without any judgment. I'm very different to my wife. I wouldn't do half the things she would want to do. How she gets satisfaction out of that, I have no knowledge. Jumping out of aircrafts and that, it's not my kettle of fish, right? But it's what the other people like to do. You can understand in a conversation why they want to do that. Why then it becomes boring for them after a while? They've got to do something even more stupid. Okay, in my eyes. So it's just that acceptance and understanding that we're different, but we all have qualities that merge together are as strong as anything. Everything we've been through in life to date was about how us humans reacted to it, what our thoughts and emotions were about that, and most especially what we learned from it. We do have a lot of things for deterrence. We have a lot of things to try and encourage. We have a lot of things to dictate. There has to be a balance there, that what is the purpose of this and how do we position ourselves to help our community and to stop just talking and wishing, but to see some type of progress going forward.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yep. It doesn't take much. And I remember they used to have this T-shirt we were wearing one time, and the T-shirt said, "It starts with me." And it was part of our Boy Scouts, just going back when we had a much more positive outlook for society and ourselves as a whole. And I think it goes with that understanding that when we look at each other, we're seeing a part of ourselves in someone else. And I think that's what this new medium of social, and I call it anti-social sometimes, media, where we don't have to look each other in the eye. And basically, we can say what we want without the fear of rebuttal. And then we seem to be shocked when rebuttal happens and it's not to our liking. But with the whole dynamic of being around each other and communicating, we have to look that person in the eye and know that we're talking to another human being. Because I think we've been so disengaging in society that we're losing the value of humanity. And that's frightening in itself. And in times like this of stress and struggle, well, like Eric said, we could come together in one understanding that this has to change. Now everybody's kind of running their own way because they want to be their own leader without the understanding of the responsibility and the maturity that comes with leadership. It's not for the faint of heart. And what's frightening to me is I've seen time and time again with this thing they call influencers, and they finally feel the pressure of being watched, of being seen during the good times and the bad, and they're taking their lives. And I said, then how can they be an influencer if they don't even know what to be prepared for in life and society? What dictates us to follow them when they don't even know where they're going? And somehow they become the forefront. And I can't call them leaders because obviously they've taken on the mantle of leadership, but they've been found wanting. And in the process of understanding I'm not who I thought I was, they're doing the very thing that we're looking to them to do, is lead us and keep us from wanting to take our own lives. But for some reason, they feel that pressure, and they're stepping away from their own safety by their own hands. So, you know, when we are not being outspoken, when we are not boldly doing and trained to do, then we are failing the nation much more than they are, because they don't know. The problem with us is many of us do know, but we're not willing to come together and have an understanding of truth instead of what I believe or my opinion of the situation or this is how I feel. That's one of the most frightening things I hear in a conversation, is how you feel. It doesn't matter what you feel in a time of death. It's still coming. And yet we seem to say, well, because I don't believe I'm going to die, it's not going to happen. That's almost laughable. I remember a guy I was begging and pleading to when I was in the Middle East, and I was begging with him, you know, don't go, even though I knew this is the outcome because of the wounds that he had. And it just hurt like you can't imagine. But I was hoping in some way, shape, or form that I could somehow convince him to hold on for that next 10 minutes for the evac to get there. You know, that doesn't change anything. And it hurts like the devil when you see the light leave their eyes. But that's society, and that's an understanding of truth. I can sit there and go crazy and say he didn't die, and some part of him stayed in my mind, but that's not reality. And I think that's what we're doing in this land of make-believe that we've created in the social media, and sometimes even mainstay media, where we're more following Hollywood than we are society, and we're more politically on a side instead of engaging with our neighbors. At some point, that personal accountability has to take the forefront, and I for one will raise my hand and take that banner up. I don't know how you guys feel. I'd love to hear about it before we end this show.
Yeah, so I mean, and the one thing that you just brought up, which kind of resonated with me, was that, like you said, the things that Hollywood is always perpetuating and pushing out there as far as their agendas. And the most ironic thing about that is, when you think of like the most successful blockbusters in history, or you think about like the Lord of the Rings movies, or Star Wars, or any of that, or any good sports movie, anything, every single one of those movies is more or less around the same idea, that you're taking a group of people that all come from different backgrounds, that are very different, that fight initially, and they have all these problems that almost tear them apart, and then they somehow figure out that their differences make them stronger and allow them to work together to the degree that they can defeat this insurmountable force. And so it's like, we see all those movies, they're very successful. I have to imagine a lot of people like them. I enjoy them because we love that idea that we can truly do that. So it's always so ironic to see that those are the movies that are so successful, yet when you take the makeup off, all of a sudden these differences that we have, we turn against each other because of those things. So I just think it's innate in all of us to understand and appreciate that differences are what make us stronger and that will make us better. And to accomplish these goals that we have to accomplish, as far as finding the humanity again, it comes down to not realizing that we all are the same as much as it is us realizing that we are different, and that's good, and we need to use that. But that's just my opinion.
Mark.
Yes, I often use the analogy, you look at all the variety of sports that people engage with, find an interest in. You have teams that have got multiple people, all with different strengths, body sizes. You treat them all differently. We talk about man management nowadays. How's your parents? How's your home life? You only ask that when you know the person and their acceptance to that. You look at a golfer, it's just him and his caddy. It's about that engagement, that relationship, how well you get along together for what the outcome or the desire of need is there. It's more to look at not blaming or negative on people, even people where we don't like or dislike. We have to be prepared for change, and change is about our positioning, our openness to what somebody's feeling, whether we think that feeling is wrong or not. That's what people measure themselves by, is how they're feeling, how this has gone to their cognitive presence. We can't say it's wrong and that it has no relevance, because that's the starting point. It's about acknowledging everybody for their strengths. And while something, let's say naturally, I might not be good at basketball, for instance, I'm not going to take on a 6'6" bloke who can jump at the hoop. I can't even get bloody 3/4 of the way up. Doesn't mean I can't play basketball. I'm just not challenging him. Coach, don't put me on him. You're a nutter. So it's how do we contribute? What interests us? How we position ourselves? How we're open? How we're just bloody well there? Instead of turning away and walking away and saying, oh, that's just a load of rubbish. Judging books by their covers instead of, reading parts of the story and what's really trying to be told here. We all market for engagements. There's people who we call influencers because there's some part of what they're saying just resonates with us at our particular time in life. Rest of it, I'm not particularly interested in, someone could say. It's about finding those incremental things that just help us move forward and keep supporting us, things that we can underpin so that if these events ever happen again, we've got the experience. I'm sure in speaking, with two people here, fellow Army people, you do things often enough that when you're told, you just do. I think that's all about the learning. That's all about the experience, the feeling that gave you. Yes, I can do. Yes, I will do. Yes, you next to me have a value. I know my role to you. You know my role to me. It creates confidence. It creates the ability to go forward. And when you've got to go back, you call it back. It's about those experiences and allowing people to just speak and learn and to gather information and to digest that, to come back and say how it went, what their feelings, how they've moved. Because unless we get that mechanism within us, how do we face the next challenge that comes? It's a completely different one than what our experience is. We have to learn that mechanism of, well, last time I had an issue, I actually went and spoke to someone. It's not the same appropriate person, I don't think, this time, though I might ask them or share with them, but I might need to now engage somebody else. It's about understanding our needs and not being shy and understanding the needs of others, to not ridicule them, but to put ourselves in a position of support. And if we're not in a position of support, to know that we're better off stepping back, looking at ourselves, considering what we need to do before we step back in something. It's about not being shy and not being free and not ridiculing people because they don't share the same belief or goal as us, or they don't want to do the same thing as us. It's about accepting each other is different, but collectively together, we all have underpinning skills that can help. So don't let something you're not interested in, blurred your vision of somebody that might have another quality that you might seek at some point in time.
Amen to that. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. And I've truly enjoyed this. We need more positive speak. We need more positive communication. And we need more positive people to do both. And I thank God for both of you, because I know, like I said, I speak to your passion because I know you both, and I'm very honored
to engage with you in ways that I know where you're looking beyond yourself, because I think that's sorely needed in this day and time. And personal accountability does humble you when you realize that you yourself need to work on you yourself before you start working on anyone else in your circle. So any last thoughts before we end the show? Eric?
I really appreciate the fact that you do this, and I always appreciate the message that you're putting out there. The only last thought that I really have is, again, you know, reach out to those people that are in your lives, that are in your lives, that you care about, and sometimes you just need to remind them that you care about them, which is as simple as saying, hey, I was thinking about you, and I just want you to know that. And then you just say whatever it is about them that you appreciate, because those are the little things that can have incredibly big effects on other people. And that's all part of what we're all trying to do here. So just trying to do that, take a step back, not try to get overly emotional when you hear something that you may not agree with. And then, you know, I definitely agree with what Mark said about just working at being a better listener.
Amen. Mark?
Yeah, I think echo that. I would like to, like we're speaking about veteran health and all that thing, I'd like to, you know, to pay particular attention and to say this about, you know, if people have a parent, a grandmother, or anyone in like hospital or aged care homes, etc., natural thing is, yes, we're going to see Nan or Mom on the weekend. If there's segregation, really, really just, you know, please stay in contact with them, because it is such a hard time for them. It makes me emotional now because I work with it and I see it. Know that there's phones, computers. You can stay in touch without physically being there. And what that physically means for the recipient to listen to their son, daughter, granddaughter, it's health. When you see someone receive that word, the sound of your voice, that they know. Even people with dementia can pick up on the sound of somebody's voice and relate to it. Even the sound and the tone, how this really impacts on their life, just knowing that you're there and you care. It's as good as most medicines, just to know that you are there and that you care.
Well, I can't figure out a better way to end the show than that, so I'll just leave it with that. Guys, thanks so much. Dez, I hope we did you justice, even though you were not here. Guys, again, thank you so much for everything, and God bless you. I mean, I'm really happy to know you, and I thank God for you. And I hope all goes well with each and every one of us, that we can still be the children of society, the children of hope, and the children of understanding, because it seems it's sorely needed, and we need to step up. So thanks again, guys, and have a very blessed rest of your day and life, because we all need to hang in there. We ain't done yet, and I ain't giving up without a fight. So, guys, thanks so much. And like Dez always says, your body is a temple, so let's build it.